Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass!
Thud!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
Says is the devil. All right. king to fill the terrible and the knights of the round table.
Oh, whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yeehaw, Knights number 87. Hello, everybody out there. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible. So, I was thinking this morning, I turned on the doggone news. Let's see what was going on. Of course, you know, a bunch of more crazy stuff. You know, if you would listen to the news sometimes, you would think that the world had a lot of problems. And then if you listen to the news other days, you would swear up and down that there wasn't nothing wrong in the world at all. I want to tell you why I despise the apocalypse and why I despise the mainstream media. First off, on the mainstream media portion, everybody knows that you're going to get propaganda no matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or whatever, independent, in between. It's just that these characters out there, you know, back in the old days, they used to have real news reporters, real journalists that would go out there and they would find the real stories and ask the tough questions and stuff. Nowadays, it's just become nothing but more than a corporate media deal, you know, a propaganda machine slash, you know, I want to sell you a new pair of shoes with a fancy name on there. That don't tell you about where that fancy pair of shoes came from and how little somebody may have earned in the process of making that, nor did they tell you any of the damage done by some of the corporations out there that go into foreign countries and just use and abuse these folks and their resources and pay them very little for their efforts. And so, you know, with that said, when you watch in the mainstream media, I always have to look at them with a crooked eye because I don't trust nothing that they say. That's a shame because, you know, a lot of people are out there. It takes two people per family to earn a living for their family these days, which takes away from the children that, you know, it used to be back in the old days, a mother had the opportunity if she wanted, she could be a stay-at-home mom and, you know, do all the house things and the baby things and all that, you know, and spend a lot of quality time with kids, help them with their schoolwork and all that kind of stuff. And the family was strong for it because, you know, mom's job was a job. And then, you know, dad, he would go out and he'd earn the bread and he'd come home and they'd have the family thing. You know, I'm talking like the whole Leave It to Beaver style lifestyle kind of thing, you know. You know, way back when you used to watch that show on TV. And so the family had a bond. They had a connection that was, you know, really good back then. You know, as the mothers and fathers of today's society ended up having to go out into the world and work and have other people raise their children via, you know, babysitters or whatever and, you know, school. And we all know how schools these days are. These poor little kids go to school, and it's more like a prison than it is a school. If I had to go to school in today's day and age, I would be one of the saddest individuals on the planet. You know, you're walking into what is literally a duplicate of a prison. Sometimes prisons are probably a little bit better off than the doggone school. Anyway, they got cameras following through school, and they got all this and that going on, you know, and I blame a lot of this on the mainstream media. I know that sounds absurd. How could it be the mainstream media's fault? Well, they're spewing out all the propaganda. Only thing that you ever hear on there is somebody's getting shot. Somebody's getting robbed. We got this going on. We got that going on. And I talk about the good things that goes on in the world because there are a lot of good things that go on in the world. But, you know, good things don't seem to sell these days, you know. If you got some Eat Your Face Off movie or monster movie, you can sell that. You got some sexy lady in a bikini, that sells. You got a good movie going on, yeah. Never mind the moral decline of society. Never mind the fact that little girls are raised up with inferiority complexes because they think that they have to look like a certain superstar, and if they don't, they're worthless. You know, little kids that might be a little on the heavy side or maybe have big ears or whatever, and they're getting tormented by their peers in school because the kids say, well, you know, you got a crummy pair of Walmart shoes and I got these, you know, or whatever, you know. One kid dressed better than the other, and, you know, it's just, it's got to be a terrible go for those kids. So why I hate the mainstream media is because they don't have any heart. They don't have any responsibility. I don't understand how these folks could look around the world and instead of reporting on something that really needs to be addressed, like, you know, some starving baby in a third world country or some company polluting up these folks' water supply, why aren't they down there full force and pointing it out until everyone gets results, you know? That's what needs to be done. But instead, you know, they might touch on a subject and then they're going to go right on over to, oh, Justin Bieber got arrested for drag racing or doggone, what's his face, the basketball guy that likes to dress up like a lady, you know, he going over to Korea and doing all his stuff and, you know, Dennis Rodman, that's who I'm talking about. You know, these guys and gals that go out there and they make all these multi-millions of dollars and just run amok in society are held up on a pedestal as if, you know, they were gods. And when the children look up at this and they say, well, I want to aspire to be a movie star because they got all this money and they get this and that, you know. It's shameful. What the mainstream media should be doing is pointing out why it's shameful. You know, not propping these folks up as if it was, you know, a wonderful thing. So then you got the different versions of the doggone. You got Democrats on the one side, liberals and conservatives on the other side, and continuously on a daily basis, they're telling you how terrible your government is. Oh, well, the Republicans are going to steal the old folks' Social Security. The Democrats are going to throw us up in slavery or whatever. You know, it's a never ending cycle of you did this, you did that, back and forth. Meanwhile, the trust of the American people on the American government is going down the toilet. You know, we have absolutely no trust in our government whatsoever. And it's justified because look what they've done. Their track record sucks. And when people from around the world are actually watching this stuff and they see this come on there and they report it to their people on the other side, you know, it's just... It just doesn't stop. So now we not only look bad to our own people, but we look bad around the world. If you take the average Joe out here in America, the average Joe isn't like that. The average Joe isn't corrupt. You know, some of the average Joes out there, they do whatever they can to milk the system for whatever they can get. But if you take all this stuff, you step back and you look into the big picture. In this day and age, it's sad to say, but our country is dysfunctional. And it's, in my belief, it's by design, you know, without going into the whole conspiratorial thing of it. It's by design. You know, whether you want to believe that it's the devil or whether you want to believe that it's some top society up there, a global elite or whatever, somebody out there just flat out doesn't care about humanity. Otherwise, these problems that have faced out throughout the entire world, they would be solved, or at least in the process of being solved, resolved, solutions, actions, you know, taking your army over there and delivering food as opposed to taking your army over there and delivering bombs and bullets and poison and stuff. You know, when I talk about all this stuff, it's really frustrating because I know that I'm not the only individual out here in this world that feels this way. I know that other people out there are discouraged by the way that society has become. You know, the moral decline. You know, the children, you know, faster give you the finger these days than they will open a door for a lady or say thank you, sir, or yeah, thank you, ma'am, or whatever like that. And you know, it's sad because if they're doing that now, imagine what their children's going to be like. So I hold a lot of fault in the mainstream media for their efforts or lack thereof of actually reporting real truths and things like that. You will notice these days that they are actually saying things that we had been reporting on here in the alternative media. They're saying them more often now because they realize that their ratings are going down the toilet. I mean, they're losing it. They're losing their audience because their audience simply does not believe anything they say. And so, with that said, on the other hand, I have to hold fault with you know, the American people as well. I mean, you know, if you keep supporting these individuals, if you keep buying from their companies and their advertisers and stuff, you're going to perpetuate the lie because, you know, as long as they're paid to lie, they're not going to worry about it. You know, hey, so what? I got to tell a lie. I made $1 million. Big deal. You know? So, moving on from there, why I hate the apocalypse, why I despise it, is because if you look back through history and you think about all the different episodes that came around, anywhere from Y2K to 9/11 and terrorists on every doorstep, World War III and Planet X and Comet Elendil and all these different pole shift things and, you know, just craziness going on throughout the world. You know, somebody with a little bit of common sense can step back and they can look at the big picture and they can breathe, you know, with a little bit of a sigh of relief knowing that, you know, they've been talking about this forever and a day. In my religion, in my personal belief, it says in that Bible right there that no man knows the time or day that he would come like a thief in the night. And I keep trying to reiterate this because it seems to me that even in the Christian churches, you will actually listen to people who will think that, you know, the world's coming to an end. We're living in the last days. Maybe we are. Maybe we really are living in the last days. You know, but until that return of the Messiah, until the return of God, we still have to live down here on this rock. We still have to find solutions to problems that exist. You know, I likened it to, you know, a father having the children and telling his children, you know, I've got to go to work, children. Here's my rules. I set these rules down for you, and I would like you to obey these rules and take care of one another, and I would like the house to be in order whenever I get home. So the father goes off to work, and he comes back, and the house is just in total chaos. The kids are fighting, and they're tattling on each other, and it's just a terrible mess, and dad blows his stack, and everyone feels the wrath. Same story on the God side, you know. We got to get our house in order. We got to get our house in order, not just for our redemption at the end, when we actually stand before judgment, in my belief, then for the children of the future, for our grandchildren, your grandchildren. You know, I say this all the time, and I don't know if it really sinks in to anybody's head what the actual meaning and the depth of it actually is that we are the founding fathers, the mothers and the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, uncles, cousins, and so on and so forth of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely, without a doubt, define the world that they live in tomorrow if we sit idly by and just allow everything to just collapse around us. You know? Hate our neighbor all we can, you know. Our neighbor, his lawn's, his grass is too tall. We don't go over there and ask him if he's got, you know, some health problem or he needs some assistance or anything like that. No, today's American gets on the phone and calls up the local town council or the local police department and sends the law enforcement over there, armed gunmen, to their house to threaten them with jail or fines or whatever. We, instead of taking upon ourselves to go over there and lend assistance to this individual and not only make a friend, but an ally in case of an apocalypse, we go over there, we don't even leave our house. They didn't even know who called. They assumed that we called because we're their nearest neighbor. And so now the animosity's there, you know. I hate my neighbor. He's always calling the law on me or whatever, you know. The neighbor across the street that doesn't like your music too loud. So all this stuff that we complain about the government, it actually starts from the ground up. It's because everyone complaining to their local councils or everyone complaining to their local state or everyone expecting the federal government to do what they should have done themselves. We talk about alternative energy. We talk about alternative solutions. We talk about a lot of things. And, you know, we touch on our religious beliefs and our morals and spiritual beliefs or whatever, you know. We talk about so much here on the Knights of the Round Table and all these shows on Awake Radio and No Borders Radio and We Roar and it just goes on and on. We got Shake and Wake Radio on there and, you know, a bunch of wonderful individuals from all over the globe. People from all different nations, from all different backgrounds who are pretty much fed up with the way that they see the system. So, where do we go from there? Why would that make me hate the apocalypse? Why would that make me despise the apocalypse? Because when you're looking down the line, instead of focusing on your family, instead of focusing on what you can do to solve an issue, what you can do to be prepared, you're deep down inside depressed. You're disturbed because you feel like it's this so big, it's so out of your hands that you can't do nothing about it. There's no way to fix it. And then you got some folks that will feed into that fear in order to make money. You got some folks that will feed into that fear just to be part of the crowd, or some folks that will feed into that fear just to be, you know, it's like the characters that love to go ride roller coasters and go into spook houses. They love that excitement. They love that fear, you know. They love being scared or whatever. Some folks dwell in negativity, you know. They live in a life full of poor me, a life full of, you know, everything's a drama. Everything's, you know, you want folks to just feel sorry for you all day long. And you're not only cheating yourself, you're cheating the folks that are around you who are sharing their love as much as they possibly can. And no matter how much they try, you just can't make that individual happy. Because that's where they dwell. And so, looking down the line to a possible apocalypse, it's coming all the time. It comes every day. It comes once a year. And sometimes the date gets it gets moved up to, oh, well, we thought it was going to be here this year, but looks like our calculations are slightly off, and the death asteroid or meteor is coming in a year from now. So you got an extra year to plan. So buy this generator over here and these batteries and this canned food and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I don't have nothing against the preppers. I think the preppers are wise individuals who are pre-planning for any possible emergency that they can take care of their family. As long as that they make their family part of that process and they're storing up and telling their children, this is why we're doing this. You know, some folks out there believe that this is going to happen, and so just in case it does happen, we want to make sure that we don't have to go to the store while there's you know, riots and chaos going on. We want to keep our families safe, so, you know, this is why we're doing it. You know, in a responsible manner like that, I can understand that, and I could say that would be a good way to be. But I've seen it. I've seen people go down that rabbit hole, and they're so paranoid that every time somebody knocks at the door, they think it's the Men in Black, or they think the aliens are coming to get them. And so with that said, society all over the world has gotten to a point where they're so mentally taxed, so mentally challenged by, you know, everything out there. It's so overwhelming that some folks just can't take it anymore, and they walk away. And those are the folks we need to actually reach out to and help. So, I don't like the apocalypse. I don't like doomsday scenarios because I don't like destroying people's lives. Because I don't know when doomsday is coming. Because my Bible says that no man would know the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. That means I'm driving down the road, there might be a car accident. I might drive down that same road, there might not be a car accident. I may die, I may not die. But for me to live my life in stress and fear of driving down the road or even leaving my house, you know, I already have problems with that because I know the world's messed up and I've already been down the rabbit hole. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a good lifestyle to lead when you're in fear of going anywhere near a large crowd or going out into public or going too far away from home for fear that something could happen. You know, your car could break down or a riot could break out. You know, the apocalypse happens and you're miles from home and your family and you can't get back to them. I've lived that. And I would like to see that there's nobody else that ever has to go through that. So, you know, what we do as Knights is we try to tell people, you know, we try to uplift them with hope and stories. And if we do have to talk about the negative, we have to give them a positive. What could come about, you know, what you could do to protect yourself in such an incident. It's about delivering information with responsibility. So I despise the apocalypse. I despise doomsday because it steals from your life. It's Satan at his best, keeping you confused and scared at all times. We're not about fear-mongering here on these networks. We're about uplifting people. We're about trying to do something positive. Because just as the book in my belief says, no man knows the time or day that he'll come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, we got from now till doomsday. We got from now till doomsday to live our lives and to raise our families. We got from now to doomsday to prepare for doomsday. And if we do this wisely, if doomsday comes around, it might just be like a speed bump in a road and we just roll right over it and keep on going. The alternative is we panic. We get in a fight with our government. We go into a civil war because our government's corrupt. Instead of, you know, working through the system and getting these turkeys up out of there and paying attention to what's going on with our society and speaking out when we don't approve of things that are going on or being taught in our schools, if we don't use these tools available to us, then the road that we're going to be on is full of potholes. It's full of everything that you don't want it to be. It's dragging your family down the roughest road to the same end. I've been joined by my honorable knight cultist. How you doing there, brother?
Oh, not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good, I think so. So what do you think about what I said there, brother?
Well, you know, I mean, as I always say, you know, we've got to work out how to do things as individuals. We can't just sort of sit back and wait for, you know, our brother to do, you know, to do it first. We have to be the ones who stand up and do it, don't we? You know, I mean, you're dead right in saying that, you know, there are these doomsdayers out there, and they do. They piggyback the internet, and they piggyback YouTube, and they try to, you know, get themselves, you know, out there in the spotlight where they can earn themselves money off this stuff, and that is what it is. It's propaganda for earning money is exactly what they're trying to do. So, you know, we have to question very deeply where this information is coming from, and, you know, the reasoning behind it, don't we? You know, I mean, we all understand that, you know, at the end of the day, global financial collapse is a pending imminent thing.
Yep.
You know? But really, at the end of the day, what does that mean? Does that mean that your brothers and sisters down the road are going to, you know, come and, you know, pillage from your house? Or does it mean that we're all going to come together and help each other in that time?
And you I'm know, hoping it's we, that.
We need to make that decision, you know. It's as I always say, it's a decision for an individual to make, not necessarily, you know. You can't assume that the whole world is bad.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. Well said, brother.
Thanks, man.
You know, it's just I see all these people out there, and, you know, every once in a while, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but every once in a while I'll meet a new contact and somebody will come rushing up and they'll start telling me, oh, what did you hear about this and this and this and this? And they're like, I'm buying me a gun. I'm getting me a bunker, you know. And they're going freaking nuts. And you and I have already been down that road. And we even see it in the alternative energy community where people kind of latch on to the alternative energy and play on people's fears. We know we want to get off the power grid. We know
that's something we want to do as individuals in the first place.
Yeah.
Before any apocalyptic things happen, before, you know, the world collapses financially, you know, we want to be off the power grid. We don't want to be paying the man, you know, for something that we will prove is free and given to the world. Like, we live in a sea of energy. So why in the world are we paying for energy?
I agree.
You know, it's there to be taken. You know, static. It's like those books you gave me, Shaziz, I must read something, because I was reading, you know, the little, what are they called here? New Electric Library you gave me, the black books?
Yeah.
Right. We were talking a lot during my stay about atmospheric energy.
Yep.
If you remember. Okay. This has the definition for dynamic electricity, magnetic electricity, radio electricity, and wait for it, atmospheric electricity.
Yep.
The free electricity of the air, which is almost always present in the atmosphere. Its exact cause is unknown.
Well, see there, I told you that you was going to like them books, brother. I told you.
The phenomena of atmospheric electricity are of two kinds. There are the well-known manifestations of thunderstorms, and there are the phenomena of continual slight electrification in the air, best observed when the weather is fine.
Yep.
So that is saying that what you see up in a lightning storm, You know, that same energy is present no matter whether or not the... thanks a lot, Biggie. I'm getting people being dumb nuts around me. Driving me off my track there. But the energy is always present. There's never a lack of it. It's always there. It's just a matter of harnessing it. You know,
well,
so
that's what I've been saying forever and a day. But see, our backs have kind of been up against the wall because, first off, we're having to work with inefficiency that they had designed to begin with. You know, there's no reason why you have to have 120 volts to run a motor, to run your freezer, you know, pump and all that kind of stuff. There's other ways you could actually do it on less energy. But, you know, it's the way it is. And so for us to tap into the alternative energy, we literally got to find the right device at the right frequency to be able to...
We've discussed this 100 times over, and that is that as human beings, when it comes to energy, we are the most wasteful creatures in the universe.
Oh, yeah.
We don't care. We use brute force for everything, you know? That's why there's so much heat in all of our electronic devices. Anyone, most of you all sitting in front of your computer right now, put your hand over the back of your computer monitor. What do you feel?
It's hot.
Heat. That's wasted energy. Heat is energy. Okay? So, if we can do the exact same job, but with a much smaller amount of energy, and come on, we're into nanotechnology now. We can build things atom by atom. There is no reason whatsoever that we cannot build transistors and microchips to run off the most minute amount of energy.
Not only that, we could build them to last nearly forever, you know? The technology's
exactly
there. You know, it all falls back to the same thing, you know? It's not going to get done until the average Joe does it, you know? I was talking to some folks on my show yesterday. We had mentioned something about the pyramid, you know. You know, if you look at the pyramid, it's got a capstone on the top, and then at the bottom, you got this huge base. We, the people, are the base that's holding up the system that we don't like. So we're supporting the whole deal, you know. Without the base, then you don't have that. So why not, instead of us wasting our energy holding up a system that is already messed up, why don't we all just, like, on the count of three, like we said yesterday, everybody take off running in the opposite direction and just let the system go down, and we do what we need to do to make it right, you know. We got the technology. We've got the materials. We've got everything we need. We got one another, brilliant minds from all over the globe. There's no reason why we can't get together and troubleshoot these ideas, you know. It can be done. What happened?
Still it?
Huh? Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. You went away there for a second.
Sorry, mate. Getting harassed by family.
Earth to cultists. Family, leave him alone. He's live on air. What's wrong with you? Oh, man. Oh, King Shaziz the Terrible is going to have to send my jester over there to tickle the crud out of somebody.
You will. That's that simple.
Yeah, that's ruthless, man.
Yes, wait, huh? What's this? This is a ring.
Anyway, you know, I despise the apocalypse because the doggone knuckleheads out there are using it to get filthy, stinking rich. And
yep,
there's a lot of people going down. I mean down. It's crazy, you know. When you listen to the news and your stomach sinks all the way to the dirt, and all you can think about is, man, what a terrible world we live in. I can't stand the news. Turn it on,
yep,
you get depressed.
I don't watch the news, mate. It's like my pet hate. Like I will watch the weather. I will maybe, you know, sit there and watch the sports scores, but at the end of the day, there is no way at all am I going to sit there and watch the propaganda side of the news. Just not going to happen.
My problem is I can't turn my back on them because they're always up to no good, you know. I always got to see what they're lying about, so, you know, and then when I listen to them, it's just, man, you know, like they always talk about, that Kim Jong-un or whatever the heck over there in North
Kim
Korea.
Jong-un.
Yeah, with the wild haircut.
Yep.
That dude, he needs to get a better barber, man. But
shit.
either way, you know. He's out there throwing firecrackers and bottle rockets over there and threatening the United States with nuclear attack and all this kind of stuff. Yep. And the guy's just dancing around rattling his sword because he'll get some attention. He knows doggone good and well, no matter how many people he's got in his army, that if he does something stupid like nuking North or South Korea or whatever, that, you know, it's not going to fare too well on him. So, you know, but when your average Joe hears this, oh, no, North Korea is threatening us with a nuke. Russia says, let's nuke, you know, America, or vice versa, whatever, you know. The average Joe freaks, you know. Oh, man, we're on the verge. And I honestly believe that if we keep on the path that we are on the verge. But I don't want to live my life in fear of being on the verge. I want to keep my eyes open, keep my ears open, and try to guide those around me to safety, you know. And to me,
That's what we need to be, Shaziz, you know, as Knights of the Round Table. That's what we need to be. We need to be the beacons in the dark.
Yeah.
Those that people can come to in those times of need, you know. And I think a lot of people know that, you know, we're very approachable and that we are there for exactly that. But let's just make it clear, that is exactly what we're here for, you know. When the electricity grid goes down, look for that light that's still burning at night in Missouri. That's Shaziz's house.
Yep, that's all I told everybody. When the apocalypse happens, come to Shaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on.
Yep. when things are settled around here, and maybe you're over this side, look for the one in Indiana. You know, the light burning in Indiana. That'll be my house.
Yeah.
In Shannon's house.
And if we have to, we'll patch a whole bunch of wire together and stretch a phone line from here to there, you know.
That's all right, mate. We'll just get a long length of wool.
Two cans with a long string.
That's it. Yeah. Tin can radio.
Yeah. Hey, anything's better than nothing. But see, where there's a will, there's a way. Hey, we've been joined by our honorable knight, Diadon. How you doing there, brother?
Good morning, guys. How goes it?
Have you heard anything we were saying?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening for a while.
What do you think, man? What's your thoughts on the whole deal?
It sounds good to me. That's about all I can say.
Yeah. You know, I just... This subject kind of just jumped in my head this morning after watching the news and thinking about the past and all the different things, you know, all the doomsday prophecies, all the craziness, you know. Every day's the apocalypse, man. I'm tired of the apocalypse. The apocalypse makes me tired.
The apocalypse happened 5 times in the last year. Come on.
Yeah. So, we got to keep our eyes peeled in case something does go down. So I'm not saying don't pay attention to what's going on. But what I'm saying is don't get absorbed into the rabbit hole so deep that you destroy what little time you would have left.
Let's look at it like this. The apocalypse is a personal thing, all right? If your life's good at the moment and your life is good in, you know, on any given time, you know, if the global financial system collapses and you're still living a good life, there's no apocalypse for you.
Personally, I think it'd probably be better off if the financial system did collapse. And I know
exactly.
That sounds crazy, but hey,
exactly, it'll force the neighbor down the road to swap some cow's milk for your beans you've got growing.
Yeah, now you actually have to
start working together. Start, you know, actually coming together as the people that we once were.
Exactly.
You know, because money has separated us all.
Yeah, it is. It separates us in different classes, you know.
Exactly.
Lower class, middle class, high class.
It's created greed. If money didn't exist, there wouldn't be greed. You know, if we only worked to supply what we needed, then we wouldn't have this issue.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And would that really be work? It'd just be living.
Exactly, Dodd. Exactly.
Well, you would be
getting up in the morning, you would be doing just what is required to get you through.
You go back to the frontier days where they went out and staked off a piece of land and they had to use the resources of that land to build a house, you know. They didn't have lots of money, and you know, some of them didn't have any money. But
someone introduced them to money, and then they wanted more cattle and more land.
Yeah,
you know, because they wanted more of this money, so they could go down and buy bigger and better things.
You know,
look at that. Who like seriously? If I and I've said this 100 times over. If I was a millionaire, I would still have my average home, dress as I do now, hang out with my friends like I do now. Maybe a little bit more, I'd be able to hang out with my friends. But I would not be going out and buying myself a 36-bedroom home with 42 bathrooms and a giant Olympic-sized swimming pool in it. That is just not going to happen. That money, if I had it, would go back into the community. I would be, like, broke in 6 months.
Yeah, I understand you know, that.
And still have my average house. But you know how dang good I would feel?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like... Like I keep saying about the whole starvation in the world, I get so mad. I literally get mad when I see one of those commercials on TV about starving babies crying there, you know. It makes me angry because here I've been seeing these same commercials for 30 years or more, probably 40 years, probably most of my life. But I've seen these over and over and over again, and I know how many billions and trillions of dollars that are wasted on a daily basis by companies and governments and, you know, going to spend $1 million to go check out the mating habits of a slug or put a doggone shrimp on a treadmill. Really?
Even the fact that we're trying to go into space and to other planets and we can't even sort out what's going on here.
Yeah, by definition.
Blowing up ourselves to go and destroy another planet once we're done destroying this one, pretty much.
By definition, shrimp alone, if you want to go by the slang version of shrimp, he's small anyway. What the heck's he need a treadmill for, you know? I'm just saying, but we could have took that money instead of squandering all the riches of the world and all the resources and fighting over it. We could have solved every single issue on this planet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the will and the greed aren't there, and the average Joe lives by if it doesn't affect me, if it's not in my neighborhood, then it's not my problem. To me, it is our problem, you know? Because those are our family over there. Those are our fellow human beings, and we're all.
To quote you, what we do today is the legacy that we leave for our children's 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 children.
Yeah,
you know, we have to change the world now in order to leave a better place for our children. We may not reap the benefits of it, but you know what? Sometimes you don't do things for a selfless reason.
Yep.
For a selfish reason. You do things for a selfless reason. You know? I want all of our children to grow up in a better world than we grew up in. A world where, you know, you had to fight and struggle and fight and, you know, you had to attack your fellow man just to get along every day, just to survive. That's not living. That's not even close to living.
I'd like to put a visual in everybody's mind that's listening. And I saw this one time, and it was quite profound. You imagine like an acre full of land just completely packed with trash. I mean, it's just a dump of epic proportions. People just threw their garbage over there. And for some crazy reason, some individual walked over there in the middle of that pile of trash and planted one beautiful flower. Think about that. One beautiful flower. Nobody else but that one person put that one beautiful flower in there. People say, what can I do about it? What can I do? I ain't rich, you know? No, but you could be the one that planted that one beautiful flower. You could be the one that took that from a 100% eyesore to a 99% eyesore, because as I scan across there, I see that one beautiful flower.
And this goes toe in toe with a theory of yours, Shaziz. I don't know if this is the angle you were going for, but then someone will see that one flower out there and they'll think to themselves, that looks nice. I might go plant one.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm just saying, until the average Joe gets up and does it, it don't get done, you know? If you're doing something, something is getting done. If you're doing nothing, then nothing is getting done. You see what I mean?
Yep. This is a perfect example, right? Something just happened. Just this exact moment. Yesterday, I helped Shannon's father work on the fairing for his motorcycle. All right, he's just bought himself a new fairing, and we installed the stereo in it and all the speakers in it. You know, and during that, I handed him my Leatherman knife, right? And we joked a bit because it was as blunt as. Okay, it didn't cut a single thing. All right, he has just walked in about 30 seconds ago, and just sort of nudged me, and then cut half the hair off on his arm with it, and said, "That's yours," and handed it back to me.
Wow!
Didn't ask him, but because I gave him a hand, he gave me a hand. You know,
that's pretty cool.
And I didn't have
man.
To ask for it; it just happened. You know, this is the sort of world we have to work towards, where we all help each other. You know, you go out of your way for someone, they are 10 times more likely to go out of their way for you.
Or you know? Continues to spread until there's a field of flowers, right?
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
Well, once again, you know? That brings us back to the positive pebble in the pond. I've been saying this for how many years now, Cultus?
Forever.
You know, you throw that positive pebble in the pond, and you think that you're so small that one little act, that one little smile on your face, that one little, you know, helping out a total stranger thing isn't going to make no difference in the world, you know. But it does. It really seriously does, you know. There's somebody off the side of the road. They got a flat tire. They look like maybe their back's hurting or something like that. And you pull over, hey, brother, let me help you change that tire, you know, get you back on the road, that kind of thing.
Yep, Shannon and I, we were at Walmart the other day. And there was this elderly couple about to load their shopping into a taxi. And do you think the man in the taxi was going to get out and give them a hand? No, he didn't. We walked over and we said, "Hey, would you like a hand?" And they're like, "Yes, please." You know, they were struggling. One of them was in a rascal, you know. So they weren't, you know, they weren't young people at all, and. We began to load the shopping into the taxi there, and as we did, you could see the taxi driver. He sort of shook his head a bit, like ah, you know, but he still it made him get up, get out of his cab, and come and help.
See,
you know, even the worst of people can be challenged by it, you know, and sort of put in a position where, you know, they're going to do it, and then. There is a profound thing that happens when a person like that helps somebody, is they have this little sense.
Well, I told everybody that I watched this show, Pay It Forward, and if you haven't seen it yet, go watch that show, Pay It Forward. It's pretty doggone amazing. But the thing that struck me the most about the whole deal wasn't necessarily what the kid himself did. Mm-hmm. But it was at the end, towards the end of the movie, when all these people came together to recognize what this kid did. And you could see in the back of the movie, all these candles come flooding in, you know. This to me is so amazing. Any time that you can get the world's community or your own personal community together towards one cause, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
I mean,
You just seed it. That's all you've got to do is you have to seed it. You have to put it out there, and then before you know it, there will be other people following suit. In that movie, and I'm not going to ruin the movie for anyone, but does everyone here understand what a pyramid scheme is?
Yep.
Where the bloke at the top gets rich. Well. The idea behind paying it forward is almost a pyramid scheme, but without the guy on top getting rich.
Yeah.
Okay? One man goes out, and he does three life-changing things for three people.
Well, see, so what
one thing for each.
What I see that as is not a pyramid scheme at all. What no, I see that is what I
it's
see
a good
that is
to give people the idea of how it trickles down.
Yeah, but so, what I see it is that ripple in the pond.
Yeah,
you know,
organic, three-dimensional flower.
Yeah, there you go.
Web.
That one act that you did for somebody to uplift them, and they went out and did it to three more people. That was the pyramid upside down, you know, and spreading out. You know what I mean?
The idea being that you do one life-changing thing for three people, okay? And from that, when they ask, well, you know, why are you doing this? How am I going to repay you? You say, you have to now do this for three people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, not necessarily is that actually going to work out. You know, like you know, you'll learn in the movie that doesn't always work out just like that. But other people around will figure it out, and they will see it happening. They will see the positive influence that it has, and then they will go from there. You know.
Hey, did you see that contact down inside there?
The witch?
Yeah, we're gonna go to a quick music break. We'll be right back. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Okay, buddy.
This is Connected, the writing's on the wall, but if you're
So King Shazuz the Terrible, the round table just got fuller. Everybody want to say hi to everybody and stuff?
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
Good stuff.
That was exciting.
Hi,
we've been joined by Dame Shannon and Knight Jonathan, and we got Diadon in here, and Cultus, and of course King Shaziz the Terrible. I rule with an iron fist, and don't you forget it.
Jello.
Oh, wow. Y'all bad for my reputation. I'm trying to be a ruthless old king. failing miserably. Anyway,
only when it counts.
Anyway, we were talking about paying it forward. We were talking about all kinds of stuff there, man. And, you know, a lot of us have actually lived in situations where we've either had paid it forward or we were basically somebody paid it forward to us. And so I think that we've all benefited from that, you know. Just the little crowd that we've got around the table right now. You know, I think that everybody has an example of that. What do you guys think?
Most certainly. Maybe we should go around and discuss those.
Well, I could start. You know, I took in my buddy. He was about to lose his farm. And so me and my wife, you know, we had the access to the funds at time to save the farm. And so, you know, we put a very substantial amount of money down to save this man and his family's farm. Well, you know, that put us in a financial pinch there, and so there were things that we needed to do with our new house that we didn't really have the funds to do so. But they're come and knock at our door. Some church folks had, you know, kind of been keeping tabs on us, you know, getting things together, and came over to see if we needed. And the next thing you know, I had equipment out there, and the plumber out there, and they run my water line. I had a friend from church that come out there, and he ran my power line. And so, you know, with that said, you know, without asking me for any money whatsoever, these folks came out there and they benefited us in a major way, because, you know, we'd already shifted the funds that we had over to save my friend and his family's farm. You know, they're hard-working, good people, and you know, we just couldn't stand idly by knowing that we could save them and not, you know. I mean, it wasn't like we were, you know, totally doing without. You know, we weren't.
No, but you effectively, you put the positive out there. You put the positive pebble into the pond. It rippled out, and you did that not expecting anything in return, correct?
Yep.
So when you were in need, it just happened.
It just came back, and it was at the best time, you know, when we needed it the most, and there it was, you know. And so there's just one example. You know, I could probably go on for days, but I would rather let you guys have a say, because I know the stories are far and wide. I know that a lot of listeners out there have done something kind for somebody and had it come back to them, you know. And it's you know, it's not. Go ahead, Shannon.
I have one, and it's more of a kind of like the Knights of the Round Table are not perfect, just like all of us are not perfect. Okay, we tend to forget things, and this is a good and a not so good story. So, Cultus and I have went to Walmart, and you know, we had just got back from your house, your place, and all these things that we have went through and talked about, and the paying it forward and stuff like that. And him and I are walking through Walmart, and this lady drops her, I think it was her wallet. And Cultus and I like kind of paused, but yet we walked on. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, wow, that wasn't, we should have bit down, you know, we should have helped her. You know, and as we're walking, she's still struggling to get this. And I'm like, wow. So Cultus runs over there right about the time she picks it up. And then on our way back, I'm like, man, that's not what the Knights would have done. You know, we should have right away, you know, did that. So, you know, we do forget sometimes, or we do just, you know, in our busy minds and talking, we walk past things that may have been, you know, of help to someone else. Although, to make that story right, when we're coming out of the store, there was a couple that needed help. They had called a taxi, and the taxi driver just sat in the car. And one was in a wheelchair, one had, he couldn't walk very well. So, and they were struggling, you know, and so we ran over there and helped unload their all their groceries and stuff into the taxi, and you know, and so that and it feels so good. Not just because it feels good to me, but it does feel good. But also because we were able to help someone. And that, it could be the smallest of things. It could be the largest of things. And so...
And sometimes the smallest things are the best, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, they smiled and said thank you. And that's just...
That's private enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what can I do to repay you for your kindness, you know? Just do it for somebody else. That's the simple, you know?
Yep.
So, what about you, Dieter? Anything good happen for you?
Oh, man. See, a buddy of mine fell into hard times and went to prison. And when he got out, he had no money and nowhere to stay in, so we were kind of his room and board. One time, I can't even eat all the time.
That's putting yourself and your family out there for someone who, you know, has spent time in prison, and sometimes it can be scary. Even though they're your friends, you know, they learn things in prison that, I've been around many people that have went to prison, you know.
My question is, though, for what you've done for the guy, how's he doing now? I mean, has he gotten his life together now?
Oh yeah, he's a good guy. He's got a job now, and
so you gave him that stepping stone back into society, and so that's not a small thing. That's
a huge life changing paying it forward, because had you not done that, who would have done that? If no one had done that for him, where would he be today?
Yep. Yeah. He might be back in jail.
Think about that. Like, without your influence, without your help, where would he be?
I look at it like I did it for me, basically. If I was in that same position, I would like that, you know, somebody to help me.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
We are the same, so that's how
do unto others as you would have done unto you.
Amen, brother. That's some wisdom words there. You know, it's like Dieter just said, you know, if I was in that position, I would want somebody to reach out to me, you know. Like Shannon said, we all make mistakes. It's not none of us perfect, and you know, we've been down some rough paths, but you know, we've learned from those experiences, and that's the benefit of actually going through those experiences. I thank God every day that I had to go down a rough path to get where I am today, because I wouldn't be the man that I am today if I didn't know what it was like on the other side of the fence. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I most certainly know. That's my life in a nutshell, you know. I spent the first 30 years of my life walking around aimlessly lost, trying to find myself and trying to fit in somewhere, and I couldn't, you know. I met Kent a long time ago. Most of you know who Kent is. And he'd given me a bunch of cryptocurrency, okay, which is, you know, your Bitcoin style coins, for those of you who don't know what cryptocurrency is. Just look up Bitcoins and that'll give you a fair idea of what that all is about. And you know, it was about $50 worth of coins when he first gave them to me. Well, they became substantially more valuable for a while there, and that allowed me to move over here to the States, where I currently reside. It also allowed me to help a lot of people. I love to help people, and I pretty much wasn't in a position to help anyone but myself for a fair while there. And you know, apart from doing the odd good deed here and there, you know, I like to make really big changes in people's lives. And it gave me the opportunity to do some great things. It also gave me the opportunity to set myself up with my alternative energy research. I now own some absolutely awesome equipment to help continue that, you know. So,
well, I'll tell you one thing it did for me, you know, out of your experience, it got my friend and my other friend over to my house. I got to visit somebody all the way from Australia. That was wonderful. I got to visit somebody all the way from Indiana. You know, hey, if it had been for that one kind act of Kent, you know, it may never have occurred.
That one contact from Kent rippled through the pond exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it and I'm not blowing my own, I don't mean to blow my own horn when I say this, and it's because of what I did with it.
Look what
I chose to pay it all for. Like, I don't have a lot of what I started with because I gave so much of it away. But I don't feel bad about that. I'm not upset that I did that. In fact, I feel awesome because I get to look on other people's lives that I helped, and I get to see the changes in them, the growth in them, the you know.
Well, I think I
see huge changes in people.
I think Kent would be proud. I think Kent would be proud if he knew how that all played out and how many people it affected in a positive manner.
I hope so.
Oh, I'm sure, man. You know, I Kent's got a good heart. You know, I don't know where he's at right now. What's the gut going on? I wish he was back around and he'd come on the nights, you know, because he always had something good to say. And, you know, so we'll take it a step at a time. When we get there, we get there. But in the meantime, you know what? That one little act is what made a lot of difference in a lot of lives. And you didn't stop. You didn't stop the ball rolling. You got behind it and pushed it a little faster, you know?
Yep.
So to me, that's a big deal. We got one other night here. Jonathan, you got anything that has happened for you, or have you done something for somebody else like that?
Unless you count learning from Muddy, then not really.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
You got a mentor who can show you things. He's a really good craftsman, and he's meticulous in what he does. And so, you know, that's a skill that, you know, not everybody has the opportunity to have. And so, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you and Muddy got connected up together.
And you know what, Jonathan, you're going to learn, you know, just because, and I'm sure you have paid it forward, maybe you don't recognize it yet, but you'll be more aware of it now, and you'll grow from that. You know, just the whole kindness of humanity.
I can already see from the time.
Yeah.
Muddy actually talks very highly of Jonathan and what he does around there.
Yeah,
from Muddy's wife adores Jonathan because he works so hard and does things just without asking, you know, without needing to be asked. Jonathan just puts himself out there and gets things done.
From the first time I met.
Go on the paper route.
Except for when you what?
Except for when I try and go on the paper route.
Well, you know.
That job's not for everybody, that's for sure. But I've seen a definite change in Jonathan over the years since the first time we met, and all the different people that he's met via us and whatever. And so I think he's benefited via the Knights, and I think we've benefited by having him around.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought that I was pretty much banished or whatever, and then Mitko was asking me if I had heard about the latest project you're working on, something about a quantum energy generator, and I was like, no, I don't hear anything anymore. I'm still in exile, I think. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. And a couple of weeks later, Shaziz started talking to me again. So I was like, oh, cool.
Well,
we put you through a timeout.
Yeah.
So you could grow
Brody
more.
Boy, sit in the corner.
And look what happened. You grew from that.
Hey, you know what? We're all family, and it shows. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so, you know, moving right along, we have an awesome opportunity here. You know, we can keep this ball rolling, and you know, just keep on paying it forward to everybody and his brother, and make the world a better place. Or we can all just, you know, go sit on the couch and watch Dancing with the Stars. You know, I'm not too hip
not
on
sure
Dancing
about
with
that
the
last
Stars,
part, but the rest of it I agree with.
Well, you have to understand, Shaziz has to learn dance moves.
Yeah, if
he can pop. He doesn't have any more dance moves than that.
Hey, even that has no rhythm.
I don't think I have laughed so hard.
Just quietly, if you're wondering what pop is, you just keep an eye on my YouTube channel, because I haven't videoed.
Oh, man. I'm doomed. But it was funny when it happened.
It's still funny now. All
right, I got to let my dog in. So y'all keep talking.
Excuses.
Running and hiding. Yeah, he's got to cool down. He's blushing a little too hard.
Whatever, he's going to go pop, pop, pop.
He's going to run up to bed and just like put his little tush out and go pop, pop, and run away.
It's fun to watch the Ziz and Bev together. They're like the most loving people.
You know what? They are the most... And I don't just say this because we're friends. They are actually one of the most awesome couples.
They are. To
back and watch what love is.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
They are amazing together. There is no doubt in my mind they love each other exponentially. They love each other so much, and you can see that.
It's awesome.
Well, it's really easy to love Beverly. She's such a wonderful soul, and man, I tell you what, I don't know what I'd do without her, and I'm just the luckiest guy on the planet. And
yes.
I know how you feel, mate.
But anyway, man, I started off talking about ranting about how the media sucks and the apocalypse sucks, and we got into
where we are now.
Yeah, how to fix it, you know. The fixing it comes from the individual, you know. It's that one flower in the middle of the dump, you know. Nobody put that flower there, the whole dump is bad. And it's just like, you know, all these networks that we've got together, you know, we're the flowers in the dump, you know.
I just like how when someone sees you plant that flower in the middle of the dump, that they realize the impact that it has, and so they wander over and plant one.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, you got a beautiful garden sitting there, man.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
In the middle of the trashiest town, the most beautiful garden, and that looks at people, and they look at that garden and they say, man, that garden is so beautiful, but look at my house. Next thing you know, somebody's out there painting the side of their house, making it look better, you know.
Yep.
Before too long, the whole doggone town looks beautiful, you know. Everybody's, you know, talking, working together, you know. Little birds are chirping in the trees and so on and so forth. You know, everybody lives happily ever after. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
I saw the cutest thing. I just have to say, I saw a pregnant robin. It's so cute.
I didn't know that they...
They're holding eggs inside them, Jonathan.
No. I got that. He just
wasn't sure how to realize that a robin was pregnant. They're puffy looking.
Well, see, Jonathan, the mummy and the daddy robin.
Oh, man. Okay, moving right along. We'll teach you about the birds and the bees later.
Actually, there's kind of a point there, you know? Not everybody can see beauty and things.
Yeah.
But you can see the glow. See, that's how she knew. Right? And that, and the bird was looking for some pickles.
I wonder if that robin has been past Roxby Downs recently.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I heard what you said. That's why I said woman to woman. I do.
The bird was holding a pickle.
and
chocolate.
I see things all the time in nature, and you know, sometimes I see it so much I can't get rid of it. There's a moose outside our front. I see it in the tree. The tree looks like a moose.
Wow.
And now I can't see anything but the moose. You know?
Well, that's good that you're in tune.
Put one of those tree faces on it, you know, with the little, like, big ears and stuff, and then,
it
like...
It doesn't do it, dude.
No, now that
I look, it looks that much like a moose.
Yeah, we're sitting out there having a smoke in the morning the other day, and Shannon just randomly turns around and goes, go away, moose!
I want to see things beyond the moose.
Well, you could all relocate the moose.
It's a huge tree!
Well, you got to get a huge shovel, you know.
And it doesn't help even when it grows leaves. The moose is still there with leaves on it.
Wow.
It's a camouflaged moose.
You have to appreciate the moose as it is.
I think so.
You can't change the moose, so you must appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. Hey, I got an idea. You could do like the put gears on it thing.
I call it steampunk.
Oh no, don't get on about steampunk.
Anyway.
Steampunk loosely.
So we've just went down the rabbit hole of steampunking a moose made out of a tree. Wee.
Pregnant Robin.
So if you had an opportunity to give somebody some words of wisdom on like I was mentioning earlier, you know, I'm out here on the internet, I meet a lot of people, and sometimes I meet contacts and they rush up to me and they tell me, hey man, did you hear what was going on over here and this and that and everything, and I'm going to buy me some guns and a bunker and all that kind of stuff, you know, and they're freaking out, you know, because you know that maybe they just, they never really paid attention to what's going on in the world, but maybe they just got on information overload and one video led to the next video, and now they're so stressed out and depressed they can't even see straight and they're paranoid as all get out. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would give that individual, like the famous words of Cheech and Chong, you know, mellow out, man?
I have some words of wisdom in that sense, yeah.
Okay, what would you tell them?
Buy some silver.
Well, that's a good idea. It's always good to have a few extra coins in case the economy collapses, but you don't want them going out and spending everything that they got stocking up on silver and, you know, not taking care of food and all that kind of stuff. So you might want to go a little bit more in depth, because the way that they manipulate the metals market, you know, they go out and buy, like, I've seen silver as low as $7 an ounce when I first bought it, and then it went all the way up to $30 an ounce, and so now I had a little bit of money. Then it dropped down to 20-something, so now I'm less of some money. It cost me more to get it than I, you know, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
My word of advice is, you know, don't always believe what's in the news or what's on the internet, because I'm telling you, you know, it's so much better to get a lot of different people's perspectives, you know, not just to listen to one person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to just get information from a lot of different resources and then put what you get all together.
Yeah, step back and look at the big picture.
Cipher out the weeds and just step back, take a deep breath, you know. And because there was a time when I, you know, was terrified. Someone had scared me. It was when that Y2K thing went on. Okay, I was terrified. Because I had a little baby, you know, and I was just, I'm like, you know, my faith in God was not very strong at that time. And I struggled through it. And one guy, you know, one guy's words helped me so much. And then weeding out that darn the news media and stuff has helped. I don't like to watch TV very much. Sometimes I will sit and watch TV, but most of it's just junk. You know? I mean, it is. It's just junk.
And you got to take everything you got, like you said, with a grain of salt, and then step back and look at the big picture, because otherwise it will become so overwhelming that, like you said, you were terrified. And I went through that to some extent, because during that period of time, I was concerned for my family's safety. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually what got me looking into conspiracies, was the fact that they started talking about the computers crashing. Well, me being a computer geek from way back, I wasn't worried about the computers, because I knew Microsoft had already took the newer operating systems and, you know, got them working, you know, worked out. But the average Joe didn't know that much about computers, it wasn't the computers that had me worried. It was the reaction, like what happened the day after 9/11. You went to the gas station, all the gas stations were full. You know, people were buying gas because they thought gas was going to go up to $5 a gallon that day.
Which it pretty much almost has.
Yeah.
But either way, it just shows that, you know, if people, you know, like making runs on banks and because they think they're going to lose all their money, or they rush on the grocery store, it takes, You know, there's 3 days of supplies on any store shelf at any given time, and it takes sometimes 2 weeks to months before it will ever, you know, be able to be fully restocked. And so everybody rushes to the store, buys up everything, and now you got people fighting over supplies or whatever, the last case of bottled water. And it's so, to me, it was mostly about people's reaction, you know, how people would respond to a crisis, you know, kind of like what happened down in Katrina.
Sorry if you hear Clovis blowing his nose.
That's disgusting, man.
Yeah, but I'm not muted, so they can still hear it.
Boy, he didn't think that one through, did he? Oh, man. Well, get closer to the mic so we'll hear your words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
okay, so my words of wisdom are simple. If you want to feel good, learn to give selflessly.
Yep. That's
you will reap the benefits from that. But it must be selfless, not selfish. It must be selfless. You must do it just, purely just, for the sake of trying to help someone. Not to sit back and say, well, if I do this, then I'm going to be provided for with this. No. That's not how that works. You have to just do it for the sake of wanting to help a fellow human being and help them in a positive manner to change their life.
Yeah, like sometime if you're standing in the line at the grocery store and you're feeling a little bit extra blessed and you got a few extra bucks coming back to you and change, just tell the cashier to pass it on down the line to whoever needs it, you know, down the line. And so, you know, there's somebody you don't even know. You won't even see this transaction taking place. Who knows? The cashier might pocket it, you know. That's the kind of world we live in. But the fact that you did that, maybe the cashier might. Maybe the cashier might pass it on down the line.
If the cashier pockets it, they probably needed it.
Yeah. But either way, you know, you got everything you need, and now you helped get somebody else something that they needed. And when they see that there's somebody out there, they don't know who, but somebody.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I know we have a lot of projects going on, but I would like to bring forth to the night something that could be of help, a solution, and I have a lot of learning to do myself. But I think I would like to learn to do this as a woman. I would like to learn how to, when you get water, to purify it.
Well, the easiest method is to get you an old... They get you an old, they call them pressure cookers. Mm-hmm. All right, now you take an old pressure cooker, you can put cruddy water inside that pressure cooker and put it on heat, whether it be wood-burning heat or whatever. You can put it on heat, and then you run some tubing up out of that pressure cooker where the steam relief valve is, and then you go down through a coil into another cooler... huh?
Huh?
What? Through a worm.
Yeah. They're a coil.
Okay.
Distillation. So
this is coming from Shannon, who doesn't know a lot. And the reason I'm saying this is because I know there's a lot of unscientific people like me out there.
This is something that probably need a little bit more visual.
Yes.
All right, the easiest way to explain this is if you know anybody in your neighborhood who does their own moonshine, copy their still.
We don't have moonshine
here. Okay, well then go on to go on
like
and Google
use,
a steel.
This is Indiana, not Missouri.
We get virtual labs going. I would like to do and I'll be a part of it, a video or you know, a lab to teach people who aren't or who don't have those resources like a pressure cooker or things like that. That we could start from scratch, as if okay, so
the easiest
something happened, and I've got water.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
totally doable. Even a makeshift version is totally doable. And I being from the desert, and not that other people won't have this knowledge as well, but there's more than the standard distillation ways. You can actually distill water straight out of plants. and other methods as well. So
yeah,
there's not just one way of obtaining fresh drinking water. There's a few. So maybe it's a project for Shannon and I to do some YouTube videos in the meantime, maybe.
You can make your own activated charcoal by burning firewood down to where it's black but not totally ash.
That's what I'm talking about. So a mother could go out there, you know, if she's the only one, she could go out there and do it herself and say, me and my babies are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, my neighbors are going to be okay, you know. But that's the kind of stuff that it's good that my knowledge level maybe not be as high as yours guys's.
That's perfect. Because
I can say, okay, we need more on this, or, you know. And you guys can teach. We all come together, and it's so awesome because we all have different brains. And
I'm so proud of you.
Well, and that's that's a good plan, and I definitely want to do that. But I always tell Beverly, because she's always saying, "Well, I don't know anything about this or that." I said, "But here's the deal, lady. Your weaknesses are my strength, and vice versa." And there's things
we have a saying: where one fails,
the other prevails.
Yeah, if it was left up to me to do the cooking, there would be some famine, because people would refuse to eat.
I can see it now. It's like, here's your meatballs and gravy, and somebody's like, no, I thought that was Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, that looks nasty. I set off the smoke detector every time I get in front of a stove.
Bev has banned you from the kitchen to say everyone's
aware. Yeah. My mom, she banned me from the kitchen after the third pan that I scorched. I got to tell you this one here. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I made some cookies one time, right, when I was younger. And Mom comes home, and there's just smoke all over the house. And she's like, boy, what are you burning in here? And I said, I'm making cookies, Mom. And she said, cookies? How are you making cookies? I ain't got no flour. And I said, yeah, you do. You got a whole canister over there. And I followed the directions to the T, right? Well, then she said, well, show me. So I go over there, and I popped up the lid of the canister, and she said, boy, that's not flour. That's powdered potatoes.
Awesome.
Every 30 seconds, I had to pull the cookies out, because I was watching them through the little glass thing, and you could see they were turning black if you left them in there longer than 30 seconds. So I'd open the door real quick, pull them out.
You know he ate them.
Hey, we tried.
One, didn't you?
We tried, but they were foul.
I remember one time my dad got the sugar and the salt bowl mixed up, and we all were
classic.
Getting ready for church and sprinkled all of our cereals, and that was terrible.
Man. See? Anyway, back to the whole deal, though, Shannon. You got skills that cultists couldn't even dream of. And so, with that said, the two of you together, you guys make an awesome team. And that's what this whole Knights of the Round Table is about. You know, me by myself, or cultists by myself, or you by yourself, Dyden by himself, so on and so forth, Jonathan. You know, by ourselves, we can do cool things, but together we can do amazing things. There's where the difference lies.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
And so, you know, hey, if we keep this going and the Knights keep growing like they have, I mean, we've got all kinds of Knights. Some of them don't have access to Skype right now, or they'd be on here saying, you know, what they got to say as well. But, you know, they'll get their Skype worked out. They'll be on here again. And so there's always going to be a wide variety of Knights and Dames. We need more Dames on the table too, man. So
a big shout out to Mitko, who is sitting there with dodgy internet at the moment, wishing he could join us.
Yeah,
we're thinking of you, brother.
Yeah, we are, brother. We miss you up here, but you'll get back here.
Yeah.
You know, if we have to, we'll stretch a can, you know, in the string. Hello, this is me. Is this you?
A tin can radio.
Yeah.
We'll host your call.
You sound like you're talking through a pork and bean can, brother, but I can hear you. Can you hear me? Oh, man, that's wonderful. What do you guys say we take a music break and freshen up our coffee and all that kind of stuff? I'm going to put this song on right here. This is Snap, I Got the Power, man, because we got the power to do things, I think.
What do you think?
Yeah.
We do. We don't even think. We know. We know we have the power to do things together.
All right. Here we go.
Where one fails, the other prevails.
Absolutely.
My strengths are your weaknesses, brothers and sisters, and vice versa. Your strengths are my weaknesses. So without each other, we're just one missing gear out of the machine. Stay
gear?
Tuned, everybody.
Did somebody say gear?
Yeah, I said gear. I know you love gears.
All right.
Can we go to the song now because Colt has started singing? All right, sing it again one more time.
Come on. I don't know the words well enough. That's all I know.
Glue some gears on it and call it steampunk.
That's the something, something.
And you can sell it on eBay. All right, here we go. Snap, I got the power. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love.
Conceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
possessed. Don't say I'm fresh when my voice goes through the rest of the microphone that I am holding. Copywritten lyrics only can't be stolen if they are snapped. Don't need the police to try to say them. Your voice is sick, so please stay off my back or I will attack. And you don't want that.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
As I read the Gazette to catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, a land of unregretsy.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name, or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth of the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Thank you.
Yeehaw, we're back. So, where did we leave off, folks? Decisions.
We left off so many places.
Yeah, well.
Let's put some talks on it and call it steampunk.
Yeah. I did play that song for you, Cultus.
I know, I heard it.
So, let it go, brother. It's okay. It's going to be all right.
But it's a good song.
Oh, don't make
man.
Me flip this rubber band back there.
Don't do it.
Oh, man. You know what? It is a wonderful world when you got friends like these. It's a wonderful world when you have an opportunity to do what it is that we're doing, man. You know,
it's a wonderful world in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, that
just
don't go.
I know.
That just took it. That just took it down a little. All right. Now, what I was trying to say before that little tune came up. And besides that, that's not a wonderful world in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful
right.
day in the neighborhood.
Beautiful.
I know.
I grew up with that.
I had to adapt it.
I grew up with that tormenting show.
Me too.
He absolutely.
Yeah, he did. And he did a fine job of it, too. I mean,
man.
Yeah.
I have a song. This is a song that
never ends.
And it goes on
and on, my friends. Or the 99 bottles of beer on the wall. You know what I want to know is who's gonna pick up all that glass. Anyway, that's another one of those songs that won't go away. And like that deal, if Pete and Repeat was on a boat and Pete fell off, who'd be left?
Repeat.
If Pete and Repeat were on a boat and Pete fell off, who'd be left?
Oh my goodness.
All right, well, see, that's obnoxious.
Yeah, that's woodchuck, chuck, woodchuck, woodchuck, wood.
Oh, no.
I ain't never seen woodchuck, chuck, and wood, but if I do, I hope he ain't throwing it at me.
Well, a woodchuck, as much wood as a woodchuck, could chuck, wood.
Oh, my.
Man, that
I
made,
had to listen to this in the car with him and my mother.
That made me dizzy. And we also heard you guys trying to pronounce words, you know, so that was...
Didgeridoo, I love that one.
Yeah.
didgeridoo?
No, didgeridoo.
Yeah, that's one of those musical instruments over there, ain't it?
Yeah, the didgeridoo. We had Shannon's sister Ange try and pronounce it while we'd been out for her father's and my birthday. We both had a birthday on the same day, and we'd all gone out and had a few beers down at the pub, and we got back here, and we were getting Ange to pronounce didgeridoo, and I convinced her it was the didgeridoo.
So, if we all got together and started up a didgeridoo band, what would we call it? Yeah, that's easy to pronounce.
No, now spell it.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell it.
D-I-D-E-R.
I'm on a pia, however you spell that. Okay. I spell it like that.
All right, well.
E-R-O-O. Didgeridoo.
All right, what you guys putting your coffee over the break?
I don't know, I didn't make mine.
I'll never tell. Anyway, moving right along. So what kind of good example can we set for society as Knights of the Round Table? You know, I was talking to a pastor at the church the other day, and he was talking about a few things, and something struck me, and I told him that one of the problems that I seen in society was people being one-day-a-week Christians as opposed to seven-day-a-week Christians. So maybe we could adopt that same thing, being seven-day-a-week nights as opposed to one-day-a-week nights. What do you think?
I'm a seven-day-a-week Dane.
Yeah, well, I think I am too, for the most part.
We try to, but like Shannon pointed out before, sometimes you slip, you know. Sometimes you forget, you know, or you're not fast enough to react.
You're driving down the road, and suddenly somebody on the other side kind of not really cuts you off, but kind of goes into your little bubble space area, and you know, it's a little too tight for you, and you just didn't like it, and you reach over there and give them the international distress signal, the one finger salute, and you know, it just, I don't know. Was that right?
Cultus is in my bubble all the time.
That doesn't normally happen here. The only thing that really happens to us is people want to go 60 in a 40-mile zone, so they're riding our tailgate.
Yeah, and they get angry whenever you drive the speed limit. I mean, like, it's like my wallet, my driver's license, so, you know, go around if I'm going too slow and stuff.
I had a speech class one time, and I wrote a speech on following too close and how annoying it is, but you can take that in several different ways, of following too close behind someone, and you're following too close, and you're learning from them.
Maybe you just like the path they're on.
Well, could be, but you may be stepping too close and following the wrong person. You know, if you hang back just a little bit, then you can see the bigger picture.
So, would it be out of line to have a bumper sticker that said something to the effect, like, if you can read this bumper sticker, then give me a kiss if you're cute, if not, back off?
What if they think they're cute and they're not?
Oh, well. And if some cutie come running up and kissed me through the car window, Beverly would be on the warpath and I would get beat up first.
Yeah, the Terminator's coming.
Yep. All right, so the bumper sticker's out. Moving right along. I'm running out of options here as far as, things to put bumper stickers out and ideas, you know. Nobody likes my hair-cutting skills or my beautician skills. Or
I love your hair-cutting skills, and if you recall, I said you could cut my hair.
Oh, well, then Cultus said something about to the fact that he was murdering me.
To go out in it. I'll go out in it.
Cultus said something to the fact that he would murder me.
Cultus may not go out with me, but I'll go out in it.
I told Beverly that, you know, if I got a bad hair day or whatever, like, if I went completely bald, I'd go out and buy me one of those really huge afros wigs, like, from the 60s or the 70s, you know, and I'd walk around real close to everybody and tell her, this is my woman.
I just think you should grow out your eyebrows and brush them backwards.
Man,
is that possible?
That would be.
I didn't know they grow past a certain point.
That'd be kind of gross.
just make sure you brush them every morning.
Make my mustache a comb over. All right. Well, you see, there's no level to which we won't stoop.
Yes, apparently not.
No comb over mustaches, no comb over eyebrows. That's just not okay.
Cool.
All right, yeah, it's not cool, man. It's like back in the old days in I think it was like the 50s and 60s, they had used to grease the hair back and everything, you know. And like that movie where they the Book of Love, did you ever see that movie? A boy had all that grease in his hair and everything, and he goes over to his girlfriend, and he's trying to replay a scene from James Dean, and he puts a big old grease spot on the wall, and he said it looked like somebody threw a hamburger at the wall.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. grease for peace is what they used to say.
Oh,
when you said grease, I immediately thought of the movie Grease, yeah. But I was like, that was like the 90s, right?
Keep going.
80s.
Yeah. Keep going.
40s. Hey.
70s.
Our generation isn't always proud of the movies that came out of them times. You know, it's like when disco came in. I remember the day disco came in. It danced in the front door. We opened the back door and shoved it out. And then disco went out, you know. And I bought my very first pair of bell bottoms the very day that they went out of style. I got laughed out of school. I mean, I had these big gongers on, man. I mean, these were flared out real. Yeah, I got laughed out of school.
Bell bottoms aren't in. Not anymore. Now it's tight leg.
Yeah, nowadays.
In capris.
Yoga pants.
Yoga pants.
I love yoga pants.
Remember the parachute pants?
I love yoga pants, too.
What are you?
Just saying.
Remember the old parachute pants?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, no.
Like from MC Hammer?
Yeah.
I used to have Hammer pants.
MC Hammer pants.
Right.
Oh,
right.
You know about that. How do you know about that?
You don't want to touch this.
Oh, man.
Backing away from this.
So.
Run away!
You know, hey, in all that madness, you could find a solution, you know.
My solution was I just wear all black so none of my clothes clash and I can't be criticized.
But then you're hot.
And I'm cold-blooded anyway, so it all balances out.
Yeah, Ziz wears like 16 layers of clothes.
Yeah, I look like, you should see me in the dead of winter, man. I look like one of those little kids that you see that the mama bundled them up real good and they can't hardly move.
Ziz actually has a 4-inch diameter chest.
Yeah. Now flex my muscles with my coat on, it looks impressive.
Yeah.
Hey, what's my saying, Shannon, about how I make Arnold Schwarzenegger look?
He says, I make Arnold Schwarzenegger look big.
Yeah, I make him look like a big dude. Hey, it's no lie.
It's funny.
Put me up against him, he does look huge.
He stood in the elevator and did that.
It was a crazy week, I'll say that much.
Yeah, but that trip down to the aquarium was really cool, and the Lego thing was all right. Yeah.
You and I had the best time at the Lego Center, I think.
Yeah.
I think the girls were afraid they wouldn't get us home again.
Well, the girls did pretty good.
The
girls were over there with girly,
I know,
looking
they were in the girly
colored
Lego. And I
Legos.
Was writing things on the Lego wall with Lego.
And I hope nobody got it on video, but I was in there for a little bit in the girly section helping them build a house. I helped her build the roof.
You helped me get my roof on.
Yeah.
You would hope no one got that on video, Shaziz.
Yeah. But I can't guarantee that.
I'm not going to tell you
whether I did or I didn't. Just saying.
Look at Shaziz playing with girly Legos. Woo, aren't you cute?
He was teaching me about...
Structural integrity.
Yes. Structural integrity.
Yeah.
With Legos.
Yeah. So with that said, I was just there to assist. It was all good.
Yep. And it turned out beautifully.
Yeah. And on my side, I built a manly house. It looked like, you know what.
I was trying to be a good knight, but every time that little girl got close to my house, I'm like, no!
Get away! My Legos!
Yeah.
I seen you.
And Beverly made a nifty little... Oh, she said hi to tell you all hi, by the way.
We love her.
She made a nifty little Lego garden to go beside your house. You guys got a photo of that, didn't you? You should post that.
We do have pictures. Yeah.
Cool.
It's probably named Shannon. Shannon has a big job ahead of her, and that is to go through and edit all our photos.
You know what would be spectacular? If we could get more people from all over the country to come together and have a big old Shaziz Awake Radio, No Borders, and all down line, big old giant get together, like a reunion kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Live broadcast. That would be awesome, man. Get Mitko over here. He'd have good internet service.
Yeah.
Honest Abe's used ISP service he's on. Would you buy ISP from anyone claiming to be Honest Abe?
I don't know what that is.
Honest Abe.
Depends really? On the throughput.
Honestly. No, not ISP. I don't know what that is.
Internet service provider.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Your internet. See, he gets his from Honest Abe's used ISP service.
Think about that now.
Yeah.
As I said, it all depends on throughput, Shaziz.
Well, I guess you got a point there.
Sorry, that ISP, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, Internet Service Provider.
It sounds
provider.
Like some sort of electronic device.
No, your ISP is the company in which you buy your internet from.
Yeah.
Oh, such as Charter.
That's hence Internet Service Provider. They're the ones providing your internet.
Yeah, it's an acronym. We learned a big word today. Acronym.
Knights of the Round Table, proudly brought to you today by the letter A.
And the synonym, or the acronym, what was the acronym? Oh, that was the acronym.
ISP.
All right, so we're not in the educational field for obvious reasons. But I did like the...
It's teaching without a license, isn't it?
Yeah, I did like the whole brought to you by the letter A. Oh, man. What a wonderful world we live in.
But yeah, that would be spectacular to get them all over here, man. You know, a big old giant reunion. We should start storing up the funds to make that happen. You know, it could be a couple years down the line, but anything's within the realms of possibility. We've got our friend from Australia over here.
Yep.
Man, didn't think that would ever happen anytime soon, but one day I was sitting there trying to fix a doggone...
tell the story of this, Shazizu,
I was
our arrival.
Trying to fix a dang dryer that was not broken. I got this dryer all tilted on its side, and I'm dropping things, and I'm getting upset. I'm probably not using the best language to set a good example for anybody. And the next thing you know, I'm being raided by some crazy folks with swords and stuff. I about had a stroke, man.
What was wrong with it?
I don't know. I turned around and said, run away.
There wasn't nothing wrong with the dryer. They set me up. They had Beverly tell me something was wrong with the dryer, and so I'm down there trying to work on a dryer thinking something's wrong with the dryer, but there wasn't nothing wrong with it. And the next thing you know, I'm under attack.
Chris led us down the driveway and showed us where to hide.
Yeah.
Don't leave him out.
Yeah, Chris was involved too. Y'all conspired.
Yeah, for sure.
Conspiracies do exist.
Hey, come on, mate. If you didn't expect something like that from me...
No, what I was expecting was like I'd get this phone call right and they'd say, hey, we're only 10 minutes away, and I'd be standing out the driveway with my little sign and say, hey, you know... But no, it didn't go down like that. I didn't even know you was even anywhere close. And I had asked Beverly just moments prior to going down working on the dryer if she had heard from you. And she's all like, no, I ain't heard from him or nothing, you know. I should have known right there. Should have known right there something was wrong. Because she was texting you all day long. But then the next thing I know, I'm in here working on the dryer. And the next thing I know, I'm under assault.
We stormed the castle.
Yeah, you did. It was cool,
and
though.
Slayed the king.
If I had to do it all over again, I guess I would have to go ahead and do it the same. It was. I can't necessarily say delightful because I was on the verge of death.
Wait, I'm pretty sure we nearly accidentally gave him a heart attack.
Yeah.
But hey,
I stopped breathing there. Whenever I got my eyes back in my skull and my lungs moving again, I could actually say, y'all scared that out of me.
There is a video of this on youtube.com/desert experimenter. We came barreling down the stairs. I've lunged at Shaziz. And put my foam sword to his throat.
Yeah, he's and I'm like,
I didn't even speak, so he did not have the opportunity to hear the accent. All he heard was,
yeah. And see, we just got through talking about the apocalypse and Men in Black bashing through the door, and the next thing you know, here we come, a whole crowd. Oh boy. Yeah, if you can't trust your friends to get you excited, then who can you trust?
Exactly.
Your enemies.
Yeah, there you go. It was
who
a
needs
wonder-
enemies with friends like me, huh?
Yeah, plotting and scheming.
I think frenemy would be a better term.
There you go. See, and this is a new word on the Knights of the Round Table. Go ahead with brought
frenemy?
To you by the letter. Yeah, cultists brought to the letter by of what?
Brought to you by the letter A.
We're on frenemy, not enemy.
Enemy.
F, as in Frank, Fred, Flintstone.
Today's Knights of the Round Table show is proudly brought to you by the letter...
And we forgot Jonathan, friend. Oh, never mind. Moving right along. Pay it forward, folks. Just pay it forward. And this is what happens. You know, you meet wonderful people like Dieden and Jonathan and Shannon and Cultus, and you end up on a radio show talking to people all over the globe and doing this. You know, it's like the folks that are listening in right now, they're our family as well. And as they tune in every Saturday and Sundays for the Knights and the Mad Science Show and the Hope Show and all that kind of stuff, you know, they're tuning into family. You know, it's a wonderful deal, and it's truly humbling when you think about the whole thing, the big picture. What do you guys think? Don't everybody jump at once. Huh?
I said, that it is. It's very, very humbling. Very nice to talk to people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, and, you know, have a sense of unity.
Yeah, when you find somebody from Bulgaria who calls you up and contacts you and wants to talk about alternative energy, that's cool. Somebody from Ireland, somebody from Australia, somebody from America. You know, you got like-minded individuals wanting to talk to you about things that you're interested in and talking on the show, and it just, the network just keeps on growing and growing. I mean, it's just, this is what it's all about. It's the paying it forward. It's the sharing the information in a positive manner to everybody and his brother out there. And, you know, you've seen it. The mainstream media, they're nervous. They're actually starting to talk about things that we talk about because they realize that people are listening to us and ignoring them. I think that's a good sign. What do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. We're making an impact. We're stealing their audience, the mainstream media's. We're stealing their audience and forcing them into, well, guess what?
Truth.
We're forcing them into our submission, you know. Talk about what is important, otherwise no one's going to listen to you.
Exactly.
Simple.
You know,
I wonder what would happen if we, if, you know how the media always promotes the, you know, BS and, like, popular culture and whatever, if they promoted us just as hard, I wonder how far we would be.
Well, they won't promote us that hard because, like we said, we're taking away their deals. But if we did what they did, wouldn't nobody be here? Wouldn't be no knights? It's not honorable to tell lies and propaganda and scare the heck out of people on a regular basis, you know? So, there's no honor there.
That's how they make their money, isn't it? I mean, you watch the news. When do you see a good news story? How often? As opposed to bad news stories. Bad sells.
Well, they're like, They sort of try and make it seem like it's evened out, but it's not really. It's like, breaking news, a horrible hurricane kills millions. In other news, a baby was just born at the first of the year.
Yeah.
Wow. It's sensationalism, you know? That's how they make it sensationalized.
They should have been more...
Pull at the deep-rooted, you know, heartstrings, the feelings, our feelings.
Yeah, they should have emphasized more on the miracle of that baby being born on the first of the year. New Year's baby, ain't this wonderful? That kind of jazz, you know, something uplifting as opposed to depressing.
It's like the good stuff is like a side note to everything else.
Yeah, sometimes it only comes... Sometimes it only comes via that little ticker down at the bottom, you know, and most people's focused on the person talking and misses the whole story across the bottom.
Yeah. Lots of kitty stories, you know, puppy stories sometimes.
Yeah, once in a while.
When
it goes viral on YouTube, then they'll talk about it. Yeah. So, you know, with that said, maybe when we end up going viral on YouTube with one of our videos, maybe we'll hit the mainstream media, and as we're on there, we'll be saying, "Hi, Mom, I'm on TV." What do you think? Oh, man.
Sounds fun.
I gotta hold my breath.
Yeah. Yeah, don't hold your breath, because for some reason or another, the player that was on there for radio tune on ours is just blocked out completely, and I don't know what that's all about, because the other radio tuners work, and I can actually go to the website and listen to the deal. So, you know, maybe they didn't like what we were talking about yesterday or whatever. I don't know, you know, but I'll figure it out. I'll get another code. You can see we still have a radio player up there, so it's not like they, you know, even put a dent in our day or anything, you know, but hey, it is what it is. It is what it is, man. So, where do we go to from here?
You want to talk about some sciencey stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about some sciencey stuff.
Mikko and I have been talking about resonance and like plasmonics, thinking about making a plasma chamber and
And you know what a standing wave is?
Yep.
Yeah, like standing waves through plasma.
Well, that would be cool. And also, I don't know, Cultus, did you get an opportunity to look all the way through that video that I sent over to you?
All the way through it? No, mate.
Well,
no. But just Dodd and Shannon would like to know what a standing wave is.
So a standing wave is when two waves, it can be a reverberation, like basically a sound wave bouncing off a wall and then coming back and then equalizing each other in such a way that their peaks match perfectly. It's like resonance. It's like finding resonance. It's like when you're playing a guitar and two people are playing guitar and they harmonize. It's the same relative principle, only it's with the actual mechanics of the wave. And so when you have standing waves, there's notes from peak to peak, if you know what a sine wave looks like, right? And then there's little nodes in between. Well, in those little nodes, supposedly the energy goes to zero, but when there's two of those energies in harmony, it's not at zero. It's at this strange. It almost creates like a vacuum of space where you can actually make things hover with sound.
Well, it's surprising that you're talking about that, because that material that I was talking about that I sent him the video over is it's a bismuth and magnesium and zinc alloy. It's it's layered in the microns. And they were talking about, they did some tests on this. First, they tried to find out who built it or why it would be built, what its purpose is for, and what they ended up coming up with. One guy said that you could use this for strength purposes, make a strong alloy. The other guy said something to the effect that if you hit it with the right high voltage and frequency, you could literally get it to hover, like levitation. And then another guy took it and did some experiments. He left it in water for 40 days to see, what kind of reactions it would have, if there was any deterioration. But whenever he left this in water, he realized that it was producing hydrogen as it was sitting there. But the material itself didn't deteriorate. And so, there's some fascinating potential there. If you could take this same material and you could make a fuel rod out of this layered material from the bismuth, which bismuth doesn't block out a magnetic field. It disperses the magnetic field. It goes around the bismuth. And so knowing that you got that anomaly there, and knowing the anomalies that are with different materials, and combining these materials together and coming up with these results are amazing. So if you took and made you some fuel rods out of this combined material, you could literally build a hydrogen cell that you didn't even have to put any electricity to produce hydrogen. And he did this. They even showed that, while it was sitting there, he put a little bit of electrolyte in there with it, and it was actually speeding up the hydrogen process, but the material still didn't deteriorate. And so now you would have a hydrogen cell by which you didn't have to put any current to. It was just a chemical reaction between the metals in the water itself. They started off with distilled water. They got the bubbling effect, and then from that point on, he had a little bit of electrolyte to see if he could speed up the process, and it did. So the cool thing about it was, while it was producing the hydrogen, as opposed to the average hydrogen cell, the water didn't cloud up. It didn't have any crud in it at all. The water stayed clear through the entire process.
The same electrodes, they're both this bismuth alloy?
Well, it's a layer of bismuth, a layer of magnesium, and a layer of zinc, and it's multi-layered.
They're not exactly electrodes, though, are they? Because there's no electricity being applied to the cell.
No, there was absolutely no electricity to it. And
so it's the vibrational frequency of the matter itself that's producing it.
Think kind of how radiation works, I guess.
Yeah,
so with your technology that you were talking about looking into, you and Mitko, if you get the plasma state at the right frequency, you could literally create enough energy to make that material float, literally.
Yeah.
And
bismuth, do that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff. Now, you've seen the go to RWG research and look at Russ's magnetic levitation using bismuth, and you can see you got the magnet floating in there because of the way that the bismuth disperses the magnetic field. It allows that that magnet to stay centered inside there, and it weakens the strength of the magnet that's above the magnet that's between the two pieces of bismuth to the extent that you can adjust this just right to where you got a sweet zone in there where that magnet will literally hover.
Right. It's just like the standing waves. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
It's creating a vacuum of its own self-sustained bubble.
And so all these things combined, you know, you take this anomaly and that anomaly and you add them together, basically what you end up with is science fiction made science fact. And this is what I talked about on the Mad Science Show yesterday. I honestly believe that we have the full capability right now to literally build a spaceship that we could travel to the stars, and not at the speed of light, but faster than the speed of light, using everything that we already know.
Huh? Sorry? Vimanas did that.
Who
the
did?
The flying saucer-like things in Muslim something to do with Muslims. It's ancient something or another. They saw a craft that looked like saucer shapes with crystal domes on top and things like that.
Well, the key of the whole deal is, without going too far back in history or anything like that, we have all the resources, we have all the technology, all the materials to do exactly what we're talking about, to turn science fiction into science fact. And to me, that's amazing. Now, it's going to be up to a case of what you do with this technology. You know, I'm positive that, you know, governments of the world are so much further advanced than we even possibly imagine.
And at least 20 years.
Yeah,
at
least. And a lot of those nifty little gizmos you see up there defying the laws of gravity are probably some of our own toys.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was talking about with the bismuth having the capabilities of redirecting a magnetic field, there's a lot of potential in there because the Earth has a magnetic field. It's got north and south pole lines, and, you know, if you could actually see the magnetosphere, you could see that you got a guidance system, you know, that you could use by redirecting your magnetic field to go whichever direction you wanted to. And if you ever noticed in all of the UFO videos that people take, they're going like horizontal, then they'll shoot up vertical, and so on and so forth. So
wherever they want to go, basically.
Yeah, it's almost like they are on a grid. You know, they're following around the magnetic lines of force.
Gyroscope too. So the funny thing is some sciences don't like to look at a holistic view of things because they think it's pseudoscience or it's ridiculous, right? But really, holism means that you're taking all the sciences and finding how they interlace with each other, how they interact.
Well,
how things do interact, right? Well, look at like a gyroscope. We use gyroscopes on our missile guidance systems, right? But yet the gyroscope is something that's not talked about very much. And you look at how magnetic fields rotate around things. They rotate in a clockwise or counterclockwise manner, and that's how they interact with things, like the clockwise and the counterclockwise interact. You know, it's not very linear. It's all like this 360-degree motion like you're talking about. It's interesting. It's fascinating.
So nature is a wonderful teacher, and, you know, if you take just a little basic example of an earth battery where you take a copper pipe and a galvanized pipe and plug them in the dirt, you get not only a galvanic action, but you get a chemical action with the dirt, whatever chemistry is in the soil, and you actually produce electricity just by plugging it into the dirt. But, you know, had you not took the copper and had you not took the zinc and combined those two elements together, I mean, you don't got nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they have their two magnetic differentials. There's been a lot of videos lately on YouTube about Leedskalnin and stuff like that, and there's some interesting principles besides how, you know, that basically all of Faraday's experiments have been taken to the next level, and you can see there's actually a lot more going on than what it appeared, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we kind of use the energy forcefully, but really, if it's about a balance, if you have a good balance, that's what's important. Like the batteries we use now aren't really balanced that well because if you do the research, like, you know, you have more negatives than positive plates, right, in a battery for the most part.
Yep.
And they displace their energy, and at least into the environment, than the positive does, right? But the negative always stays placed, basically.
Cool.
The negative electron, the negative and positive move in conjunction with each other. It's not like it's only moving one direction. It's always moving two directions, whether it be DC or AC. So.
Yeah. Coltis was reading out of a set of books that I gave him, and he found the words free energy in those old books. And those books were back in 1900 and something. I can't remember.
Shall I
read it again?
Yeah, read it again.
Okay. So, originally printed in 1929. And this book has the meanings of the definitions of different kinds of electricity. We have here dynamic electricity, magnetic electricity, radio electricity, and atmospheric electricity. The free electricity of the air, which is almost always present in the atmosphere. Its exact cause is unknown. The phenomena of atmospheric electricity are of two kinds. There are well-known manifestations of thunderstorms, and there are the phenomena of continual slight electrification in the air best observed when the weather is fine. The aurora constitutes of a third branch of the subject.
I see. But there you go. In all that deal, they were talking about free energy back then. Because we talk about free energy now, everybody says, oh, you're a nutcase because you can't get something from nothing. But if you take all the different, like you was talking about Faraday, and then if you take the lens effect or whatever, you know, those anomalies can be used for a purpose, you know?
Yeah.
So taking all these things in consideration and combining all the different anomalies that we know from all the different research and experiments from times past and combining those together, I seriously believe that we could build anything we wanted and it wouldn't be a problem.
The real problem comes down to not the energy, because the energy is technically free. It's the idea of free in the first place, and not how we live on a society that where there's ownership. There is no real such thing as free.
That's
the real bulk of it. How we conduct ourselves energetically is how the energy fields around us are going to act. You know.
But it's an electric universe, and it's so full of material. And if you built the right ion pulse motor up there for like a spaceship, you could literally drive through space picking up your fuel as you go, and starting off with an initial source such as, you know, water. You know, water's hydrogen, and if you use the plasma technology, now you got a way to energize that hydrogen into a plasma state, and even ignite it if need be to give you an extra boost out the back. But if you look at some of these ion drive little deals, sometimes people use capacitors, and as they discharge the capacitor, they get motion. Have you ever seen any of them videos?
Yeah. Ionic lifters and foil lifters and things.
Yeah. So with that said, if you was in space, it wouldn't take near as much energy to move you from point A to point B. You can imagine if you put a blast like me and Coltis was doing with these. We were blowing up our bubbler over here. He's got some of that on video. But when we blew up that bubbler, the release of power out of that, you imagine if you did that in space, you know, you'd be scooting right along. So you might do a face plant on the nearest meteor or something, you know. Big old smiley face on the side of a meteor. Shaziz was here. Yeah, I'll throw my flag
I'd like
up.
To put that on the moon, just like in big red spray paint on our side of the moon, like a human was.
Shazizradio.com.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, there's our viral video. Let's make it happen. Let's build us a mechanical robotic vandal and send it to the moon and have it spray paint Shaziz Radio on the moon.
It would be shot down.
Probably. But if we could get it up there past it before they shot it down and actually get it to the moon, they would set their watch real time through their telescopes as the S come up there and then the H, and they're like, what's it saying? Shh, shh. Shaziz radio. Oh, man, we know where to go get those guys. is it a crime to vandalize the moon? We don't know yet.
Hey, no one owns it yet. We just have a flag up there. That's all we have. We have a flag up there.
Well, then that would be the U.S. has laid claim to ownership of it.
No, it just means we put a flag up there.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's down to the wire now, and we keep cutting into Mike's time whenever he gets ready to come online. There, I think he's already here. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's been a wonderful show, and as always, this is night's number 87. I can't wait till we get to 100. That ought to be exciting. So this is the time we go around the table and quickly say what it is we got to say so we can get up out of here. Anybody? Don't everybody rush the mic at once. You might chip a tooth.
Ladies
first.
Smile every chance you get, not because life has been easy, perfect, or exactly as you had hoped, but because you chose to be happy and grateful for all the good things you do have and all the problems you know you don't have.
And how? I suck at that.
That was a quote by an unknown person. And I love it.
It's a good quote.
Love you all.
Jonathan? What about you, bro?
Well, I was sitting here racking my brain for a really good Doctor Who quote, but I can't think of anything, so...
Doctor Who was a good movie. You talking about the old Doctor Who where he was running around in the telephone booth going through time?
Yeah, personally, I like the original Doctor, the very first one, the old man, the best, simply because he's the original, but the new ones are pretty cool, too.
Cool. Cultus, how about you, brother?
Well, as always, stay safe, everyone, you know, and like I was saying before, learn to give selflessly, and you'll be happy. That's all it takes, you know?
Yeah, that's good advice, brother.
Yep, and if you want to see the highlights of our week away with Shaziz and Bev, then head over to my YouTube, which is youtube.com/Desert Experimenter. We're getting plenty of videos up there as we edit them and get them internet approved.
Don't forget to put the
G-rated.
Don't forget to put the disclaimer on. If you get your eye put out by some booty popping, it wasn't me. Pow, pow.
I missed it.
Oh, man. All right. How about you, Diamond?
Well, love you guys. Thank you so much for having me on, like always. I guess enjoy the present moments, because the present is just that, a present gift.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful gift too, man. So, with that said, you've heard from the Dame Shannon, and you've heard from Knight Diadon and Knight Cultus and Knight Jonathan, and we had other knights out there listening in. Unfortunately, didn't have good enough connection to join us, but they'll be back. They always are, and they're really good individuals, and we love them as well, and we love all you people out there listening. So with that said, peace and love, and thank you for joining us on the Knights of the Round Table. You know, you too can be an honorable knight of the Round Table. It's as simple as contacting one of us on Skype. Mine's Shaziz, and Cultus Negrand or Diadon, he'll get you in here. You know, contact one of us, or Jonathan or Shannon or whatever. We'd be glad to help you out, show you how to get up here on the Skype and talk to everybody in the world. And for those of you that can't use Skype or whatever, you know, you can still help out and be an honorary knight by throwing positive links into the chat room and helping people out. The key thing is we need to get people to this chat room and actually using it. You know, the platform's there for you. You know, talk to your friends on Facebook and YouTube and all your social networks out there. And if you believe in what it is that we're doing here and you want to see it keep going, then, you know, tell your friends about it. That's as simple as that. You know, we're not asking for any money. We're just asking for your companionship, your friendship, your knowledge, you know, what families do, that kind of stuff. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about.
Exactly.
Peace and love, everybody.
Woman, man!
Ma'am, sorry!
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terror. All rise for the king, Chauvel the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.